and at venture in directing your thoughts to the Solomon's Song, the second chapter, reading verse 4. Solomon's Song, the second chapter, reading verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Solomon's Song, the second chapter, reading verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. And in this verse here, the Hebrew rendering to the banqueting house is the house of wine. Now, I would at once make it clear that we are standing upon holy ground, as it ever is, as we turn to the Word of God. But in Solomon's Song, we have a very sacred record which speaks concerning Christ and his church, the bridegroom and the bride. We certainly need the help of the Holy Spirit as we read it and as we consider it. And the Lord has burdened my heart with this word, but with it and in it, we must also look into the context. And indeed, I feel that this fourth verse is in the centre of the first seven verses that are found in this chapter. May the Lord then so move within our hearts, I feel much to need it, as I even attempt to speak of such sacred truth. And you, dear people, need the same Holy Ghost to move within your hearts, that we may listen rightly, that the Holy Ghost may convey something of the sacredness and preciousness of truth into our hearts. The three hymns which we have been singing are so suited to the subject, and I feel thankful for this. And may the Lord, as it were, convey us even to heaven today in our meditation. I so often find in the exercise that I carry regarding the ministry that I must, as it were, seek to keep very close to the divine order of truth. And this is why so often one feels, and we have to try and preach in this way, that is, to seek to expound the meaning of truth, and that we may ever keep it in its right order. The Lord help us then in our meditation, and we must begin with the opening words in this second chapter. The whole is linked together. Therefore, I first draw your attention to verse 1 in this second chapter, where I believe that Christ is speaking. He is saying, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And I just read verses 2 and 3. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Christ is speaking here regarding his dear people. And then we find the Church of Christ responding and speaking in verse 3, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And then it comes to this, the same glorious person, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. First then, to speak of Christ, as he speaks of himself, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Oh, how sacred this is. So sacred. The Lord says, and may we feel that he is saying to us this very morning, I am the rose of Sharon. He speaks of himself here as a rose. And as I understand it, a red rose, which surely speaks to us regarding his sufferings for his people. In our reading in the Revelation, there is a very precious truth there, which I just refer to, because to me, it speaks of the rose of Sharon. And this is what we read among other truths. And he, that is Jesus, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We read in another place of how the apostle had this revelation. He saw a lamb in the midst of the throne, a lamb which had been slain. And so the Lord speaks of this. And of course we know, and even in this we know there is a variation. What I mean is concerning the scent that we may and do have from a rose. It varies a great deal. But I have noticed in my little day as a gardener, and so often needing to care for roses, but I have noticed this, that the scent of a red rose is very special. It's very poignant. It's very full. It's very wonderful. I'm sure that many of us have known what it is to go to a rose and to seek to gather the scent from it. May we then, by the Holy Spirit, be brought at once to the Lord Jesus in this. I am, he says, the rose of Sharon. In that beautiful hymn that was penned on the life and death of Samuel Rutherford, there is a verse that says this, concerning heaven, there the red rose of Sharon unfolds its hearts and bloom, and fills the air of heaven with ravishing perfume. And so that dear lady who penned that beautiful hymn, those beautiful verses, I feel this, it speaks to us, there in heaven, there the red rose of Sharon unfolds its hearts and bloom, and fills the air of heaven with ravishing perfume. Oh, to know its fragrance here on this earth, to know something of the fragrance, the sacredness of Christ in our souls. We're on holy ground, dear friends. We need the Holy Ghost to move within us. So the Lord says, I am the rose of Sharon. And of course it speaks to us concerning his sacred humanity. As he came down upon this earth, born of a woman, made under the law, that he might fulfill the law, that he might bear away in his own body the sin of all his people. And of course, it meant suffering. How willing was Jesus to die that we guilty sinners might live? Friends, there can be no release from sin only through the blood of Jesus. I wonder how many of you here have been brought to to know a little, and it can only be a little, of the value of the blood of Jesus. Invaluable blood, precious blood, sacred blood that the Lord Jesus shed for sinners. Now, what a fragrance. What a fragrance there is in his sufferings and in his death. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us to Calvary. I know I've mentioned this at times, but I feel it contains everything, really. Can we join with the hymn writer this very moment and say, conduct, blessed guide, that is the Holy Ghost, conduct, blessed guide, thy sinner train to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. Let us. You see, it's a divine work, a divine revelation. Let us, can you say this morning, let us, let me, Lord, let us, our loved Redeemer, meet. Weep o'er his pierced hands and feet and view his wounded side. And you would say, there would I find my dwelling place, and there my sins would hide. There's no salvation out of Christ. You see, it's a sacred subject, too sacred for mortals to take on their sinful lips. We need the movement of the Holy Ghost. We need the love of Christ to be shed abroad in our poor hearts, that we might be favoured to see him. Oh, could we say, to see him whom my soul loveth. And those of you that feel that's too high, to see him whom my soul desires to love. Oh, you want to love him. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauties trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice and all his will esteem. Now in this there's fragrance. What a beautiful scent a red rose does have. Particularly the what we might think of as the more original roses. There's so many have been developed through the years. But in the grounds where I used to work, there was this beautiful crimson red rose, and it was a lovely rose. And oh, the scent, many times did I admire it, many times did I enjoy it, but the scent of that rose. And yet the Lord speaks of himself here as the Rose of Sharon. It is said concerning Sharon, where this is referred to, that it was not, I emphasize this, it was not a fat land. It was not a land that could produce, as it were, great things. But it was very poor land. As I understand it, there was rubbish there. And yet the rose grew there. The rose thrived there. And the rose gave its scent there. Now surely there's teaching in this. Think of the Lord Jesus as the Rose of Sharon. And yet think of where he was crucified. At Calvary. The place of the skull. Friends, that place was a place their end. The worst of sinners, the worst of criminals, they met their end at Calvary. And there the Lord was crucified, in that place that, as it were, was surrounded with the death of those that had suffered because of their awful deeds. And yet there the cross was put and placed. It was at Calvary. The name was Golgotha, the place of a skull. And yet there the Lord of life and glory was crucified. He was crucified for sinners. He gave his life for them. He gave his vital blood for them. I'm so aware that the Holy Ghost alone can convey something of the meaning of this into our hearts. Those of you then that have admired the rose, have known something of its pleasure and its beauty, and yet here the Lord says, I am the Rose of Sharon. And then he goes on to speak of himself like this, and the Lily of the Valleys. The lily that I believe is spoken of here would have been a white lily. And again, as I understand it, it would and did have beautiful fragrance. You see, the rose and the lily, both of them have a very unique fragrance, all their own. And so it is with our Saviour. His beauty, his glories, they're all his own, dear friends. What we so need is a revelation of Christ to our souls today, that we might see something of his beauty and his preciousness and his fragrance. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. This speaks of him in his purity, as the rose, the red rose, speaks to us of him as he gave his life and shed his precious blood. The lily speaks of his purity. Again, it speaks of his preciousness. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. It speaks, of course, of the valleys. And I believe that speaks of his humiliation. May we be favoured to consider. Some of us are hoping to meet around his table this evening. And it's a very sacred place. It's divinely appointed, and we read of it. It is the Lord's table. And there are those that are hoping to meet there this evening to remember him in his sufferings and in his death. Think of his humiliation. The Lord of life and glory, the eternal Son of God, he leaves heaven, he leaves the glory of heaven, he comes down upon this earth. He condescends to take upon him our flesh, sin excepted. He lives a perfect life, a holy life. And he lives, and in his humiliation, the things that he walked in. Oh, the things that the Lord Jesus walked in here below. And do think of it, dear friends, in his incarnation. He was born a little baby. His mother Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. That which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. The power of the highest shall, whichever way it is, the power of the highest shall come upon thee. The Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What condescension, that the Lord of heaven and earth should leave heaven and come down and was born of a woman and came into this world as we do. And yet in his incarnation, in his birth, because there was no room for him in the inn, the humiliation that was his at his birth, there was no room for him in the inn. He was laid in a manger. Think of the condescension. Laid in a manger. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Because there was no room for them in the inn. And that's just how it is with poor sinners. There's no room in our hearts for Christ until the Holy Ghost makes room. There's no room in our hearts for Christ. The Lord knows how many of us have been made aware of this. The crowded in like sinners' hearts. Oh, ignorance extreme. And yet there was no room for him. And there's no room for him in sinners' hearts still. What a mercy then. We hope to come to this. It's in the subject. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. And as the Lord Jesus walked upon this earth, you've heard these things before, but when the Lord Jesus, in speaking of himself here, he says in one place, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. A servant, though the Lord of all, his humiliation in his holy humanity as he walked upon this earth. Think of that he suffered in one way or another. Think of how he comes presently, and this is before him. I come to do thy will. Thy law is within my heart. And we find him as he comes through his time here. And we think of him as he comes into Gethsemane. I am the rose of Sharon. It speaks of his beauty. It speaks of his power. It speaks of his Godhead. And you see the lily of the valleys. It speaks of his humiliation. It speaks of him. And oh, that we might have just a glimpse of him this very morning in Gethsemane. He comes into a garden called Gethsemane. And there we find him, bathed in blood. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And the cry of his holy soul. I believe I read this on Wednesday evening, and I just turned to Matthew's Gospel and read this to you again. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And friends, he uttered these words. He went away again the third time, saying the same words. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And Peter and those that were with him were heavy with sleep. They could not. 'Tis not now for such as ye to sustain Gethsemane. They had not. The spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak. And so it is with us still today. And yet the Lord gives his people a glimpse of their Saviour in the garden as he leads them in their lives and as he brings them into spots and places where they are made aware in some little measure. And the hymn says, think on what thy Saviour bore in the gloomy garden, sweating blood at every pore to procure thy pardon. The only way you'll understand it is as the Holy Ghost leads you a little into that garden, and you come into things in your life and in your path, and the Holy Ghost then reveals to you that the Lord is leading you into that garden a little. And so we might go on and speak of our Saviour in his humiliation, and yet think of the fragrance. Think of the fragrance when he comes into the judgment hall, and there is arraign before Pilate and the high priest. And yet, where do we find him? We find him as recorded in Isaiah 53, and I must just turn to this for a moment, because there we read these words. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The only way we shall understand that a little, I believe, is when we are brought into trying paths, painful paths, and when the Lord by his Spirit reveals a little of what the Saviour endured for us. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. What a beauty, what a fragrance in the judgment hall. Holy, harmless, undefiled, sinless. The Lord help us to go a step further to Calvary. Jesus went forth bearing his cross. But there was one who was told to bear his cross. Let me just once more turn back again to the Word of God here. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And in the 27th chapter of Matthew we have this. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe from off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. How willing was Jesus to die, that we guilty sinners might live. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, what did they do? They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. As I understand it, that was a potion that they would give people to relieve, as it were, to dull their senses. But you see, the Lord wouldn't taste this. He wouldn't take it. He must suffer in its entirety. He must suffer for sinners. Dear friends, oh, that the Holy Ghost would give to us just a glimpse of what the Lord was pleased to bear, and that we might feel and know that it was for me, that it was for you. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And in his holy humanity and in his humiliation, think of it, stretched on the cross, the Saviour dies. But he gives his life. They pierced his hands and his feet. He was hung up a spectacle to mankind. What a spectacle the Lord Jesus must have been. And he was. They that passed by the way reviled him. And they spoke to him. He that saved others, himself, he cannot save. If he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross. And on the cross, I feel that we might say the greatest distress of his holy soul was in this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? His Father hid his face. What that must have been to his holy soul. And yet, dear friends, it was in all that he must bear for his people. Have we any right hope that it was for us, that it was for me? And yet we have that final word, that wondrous word. As the Lord gave his life, he cries out yet again upon Calvary, "It is finished." Treasure up the sacred words, says Joseph Hart, whole and undiminished. But what we need to know is to know and to be able to say, all this was done for you. That is the exercise that living souls will have. We must establish these truths before we can rightly come to verse 4. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And I'm sure that it is, as the Lord brings his people into the valleys. They're certainly not always upon the mountaintop. I believe that they live far more in the valleys, and the Lord would keep them there so often, because if they were permitted to live on the mountaintop, they would be carried away by it. They must come again into the valleys, and it's often the case that when they're favoured with a sweet and precious revelation of Christ, assurance in their soul, that ere long they come again into the valley. But it will be in the valleys that I believe we shall recognize and understand a little of this. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys. Lily of the Valleys. Well, we proceed a little then. Verse 2, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The Lord is speaking here, I believe, of his dear people. You see, may I just notice this? I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, the lily. But in verse 2, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now this is a description of his dear people. As the lily among thorns. We have that word in the prophecy of Zechariah that speaks of the Lord's people as the sons of Levi, the Lord refining them. He shall sit as a purifier, as a refiner and purifier of the sons of Levi. What is the object of the refining process? It is that the reflection of Christ may be seen in the precious metal as the refining work is accomplished. The Lord's people reflect his image. Does this exercise our hearts this morning, that we may be such people, that our very life may reflect the image of Christ? See, when we are looked upon by the world and by others, oh, can it be said that they take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him? Well, the Lord speaks of his people then as the lily among thorns, and this is just how it is. Think of it, the lily among thorns. Have you ever seen flowers growing up in the midst of thorns? Have you ever seen this? And if you have seen this, I believe you'll understand better. But if you've noticed this, it's something very remarkable that flowers, as they grow up perhaps in the midst of thorns, they move their heads, as it were, between them, and they blossom in the midst of the thorns. And if we think of the Lord's people, it's just like that with them as they are in this poor, sinful world. They're like lilies. They reflect the image of their Saviour. They're like lilies among thorns. Now, do not misunderstand me here. The Lord himself tells us, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, do our lives express, as Mr. Dawson used to put it, the holy gospel we profess? Do our light shine? Oh, think of it every day of our life, whether you're at home, in the office, in the field, in the workshop, in your business. Does our life reflect the image of Christ? As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. My love among the daughters. Well, I must leave it this morning. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valleys, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Why, in closing, as the lily among thorns. You see, if we are possessors of Christ, then we have a new heart and a new spirit. And yet we still have our poor, sinful, defiled nature, which is just like the thorns that are here. And you will find it so. And it's an evidence of life. It's an evidence that you're among his people. If you know what warfare is, a warfare I find, you'll find it so in your very soul. You'll find the two armies in you and they are there, constantly there. You'll find them there every day of your life. Two armies in every believer. Two armies are seen. And it's like these precious, those that are precious in his sight. They belong to him. They reflect his image. And yet in their own poor heart, it's just like thorns. It's just like thorns. Let me just read the first verse of our second hymn to you again. And there is a description of these beloved people up to the fields where angels lie and living waters gently roll. Fain would my thoughts leap out and fly. Now, can you say that you long for this today? But at the same time, you'll understand what follows. But sin hangs heavy on my soul. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.
May we be helped to conclude our service this morning by singing hymn number 142. Go worship at Immanuel's feet, see in his face what wonders meet. Earth is too narrow to express his worth, his glory, or his grace. Hymn number 142. Verses 1 to 6 inclusive.
Gracious God, we have ventured with thy holy word. We have been standing upon holy ground. And we would indeed take off or put off our shoes from off our feet this day. Mercifully own and bless thy holy word. Do, Lord, bless every one that's here this morning, for thou knowest how they've come, and thou knowest, Lord, what they need. Do remember to our young friend whom we believe perhaps is on leave. Lord, thou knowest his need yet in his life. Oh, bless every soul in whatever way is needed. And then, Lord, do remember those that gather this afternoon in our Sunday school. Do help them. Be with them there, Lord. Favour them. And oh, could it please thee to grant much prayer for the evening service. And as we, some of us, hope to meet around thy table, and others who may look on, that the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow therewith, may be our favoured portion. Humble us under thy mighty hand. Bring us into our right place at thy dear feet. Be with us, Lord, as we go home. Favour us around our meal table. May our conversation be in heaven. May it be centred upon the worthy Lamb. We ask in his name. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, with the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.